And it is around 5:30, and it is the 17th of November, so it means it is time, actually, for me to turn off a speaker. Wait a minute. All right. I'm Raleigh James. I admit it. Tim Humphrey is the professional here, and it is his monthly meeting on the air. And Tim, yes, who is head of the Healy County Board of Supervisors, chairman, as well as Supervisor District 2, joins us as usual. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm glad to be here, try to inform people, and they're welcome to call in if they have information for us, or some of the information that we're presenting, if they have questions about it, they're more than welcome to call in and let us know what's going on. This evening, in the past, I have had a lot of questions from constituents who have a Claypool mailing address, but they live in Claypool, and they seem to have a Miami address. And so there's been a lot of confusing things go on with some of the addressing and getting packages and things of that nature in some of those areas. And so I asked Tom Holman, who is our map specialist and addressing specialist. And so I talked to him, and he said, Tim, he says, I can't give you a kind of a short version. So I says, okay, don't worry about giving it to me in an email, but on my radio stations, I'll get you on board on one of our radio stations so that you can explain to the people kind of what's going on with some of the addressing and some of the history of the addressing. And so before I bring him on, I wanted to also let the public know that we are in the middle of doing our redistricting maps. And the population has changed some, and public can do their own maps and send them and submit them to the committee that we formed for approval. And so if you're interested in looking at that, that's on the Healy County website. And you can go in and you can pull that up and you can look at the rules and regulations, and you can also look at the districts and what they need to do to change, and how, if you would like to change them or to look to see how that change goes, you can do that on the Healy County website. And maybe when I bring Tom on, he can give you two shakes on that. And so with that said, Raleigh, I'd like to bring Mr. Tom Holman on.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do one thing first. Give the phone number.
Go right ahead.
Because you invited people to call.
I did.
We want them to do it.
So
no excuse for not having the number. Here you go. You ready? That is 888-876-5593. 888-876-5593. And with that, we welcome Tom to Healer's Kiss FM KQSS 101.9. Hello, Tom.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Thank you, Supervisor Humphrey, for having me in. The Claypool, Miami Globe addressing thing has been a big challenge. And I've, in doing the historical post office tours, a lot of my information, historical in nature, comes from the staff, the post office staff that presented the tour. But in a nutshell, in around 1983, the post office tells me, the Miami post office was losing delivery routes. And so the Globe Post Office back then allowed them to annex delivery service all the way roughly to Wendy's. There are portions back there on Escadilla that some have a Globe address and some have a mailing address, or some have a Miami mailing address. And then we also need to have a distinction between the legal city limits, the unincorporated portions of the county, so the legal limits of Globe and Miami, and, you know, the unincorporated portion of Claypool and that nature, and it creates a big confusing mess for everybody. So to this day, or as we operate today, for the Claypool area, since Claypool does not have any route delivery services offered, they only have the P.O. boxes inside the post office. The Miami zip code, the Miami post office, that's who their listed mailing address is. So their physical address might, you know, can be in Claypool, but for mailing purposes, it's a Miami address. And that's based on that 1983 agreement. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah, I want to jump in and ask something, because there's also areas that are technically in the city of Globe, like Chaparral Loop, that have a Miami mailing address.
Absolutely. Now then, because this agreement between the post offices occurs in 1983, and I forget when the city of Globe annexed over to Walmart. I want to say it was in the early 2000s. I don't have that number committed to memory. The post office did not adjust their delivery. So, you know, you can be legally inside the city limits of Globe, but you still have a Miami mailing address. And that creates lots of confusion that I see out of my office as well, because say you go to refinance your house or something, that Miami Globe question can come into play, and it'll bring everything to a roaring halt until I confirm with say the title agencies or the mortgage and lenders, that sort of thing, that yes, this piece of property, this parcel, this address, numerically, and the street address all line up, but the city and zip don't. And it becomes that case of mail versus legal question.
Tim, that's your cue. Question?
That's extremely confusing.
Absolutely.
Does it come up like that too, like on a delivery service that would punch in an address? Would it take them to the actual house in the Globe city limits with a Miami address? Or would it just be so confusing to the delivery person that the package may not get delivered at all?
It usually would take it to the right place, wouldn't it?
I don't know.
Yes. Usually it goes to the right place, but on occasion there are challenges. And this goes to the larger data thing where, you know, nationally we've got our little piece of paradise here. But our addresses get aggregated up to state level and national level databases that the delivery carriers contract to receive updates, and if they're out of sync, it can cause problems.
There's another issue. I was going to say there's another issue besides delivery, and I've seen this happen a few times with, for instance, insurance. When you're talking about property insurance, the declarations will say that you are in Miami, when in fact you are within the city of Globe. So for anybody who has this problem, they need to really look at their legal documents, because it may affect them.
Right. And that's the fun part. Well, not fun. It's euphemistically fun. It's a royal pain because, say, you buy a piece of property from me. That real estate transaction occurs on the legal description. That might be lot 7 of a subdivision, or a portion of this parcel, right, by a record of survey or something. it's the legal description that is the transfer mechanism, but the title companies bring everything to a screeching halt, and insurance does too, when the address doesn't match.
Exactly.
It just confuses everybody. Now then, is there a way to fix that? The only thought I've been able to come up with on fixing this is it's going to require action by the Postmaster General.
Good luck.
Yeah, we don't see that happening anytime soon.
Right. Yeah. The county has absolutely zero control over, you know, while we may be involved with the legal jurisdictions, Miami, Globe, Claypool as an unincorporated community, that sort of thing, the whole postal delivery system is so far outside of our purview.
Sure.
We can't go very far with that.
Okay. Well, I understand why you did not want to email me an answer, and I appreciate that. And I'm glad that you have joined us this evening on this radio show to let people know kind of why they run into these problems, and that it's not a local fix. It's not something that the local postmaster can fix, nor is it something that the county is able to fix. It's something that's completely way out of our hands. We just have to kind of be tolerant of it and work together as we have problems to work through individual issues, like you say, with property sales or something of that nature, which I'm sure that you end up playing a big part in some of that. So,
correct. And I will let you know, we are not alone in this issue. There is a portion of Glendale, the Glendale zip code, that pokes into the legal limits of the city of Phoenix, and it's the exact same issue.
Sure.
Those people live legally inside the city of Phoenix but have a Glendale mailing address.
Not unusual. This is actually nationwide. In Pennsylvania, townships have nothing to do with street addresses. I mean, not even remotely. You know, you can live in Wallingford, but you're actually living in Nether Providence.
Right.
So, you know, I guess this is
everywhere. This is not the Postal Service blessing the community with special favors.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Tom, I thank you very much for joining us this evening. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add?
Sure. You know, that obviously ties into the question of, you know, say Google Maps and the navigation applications. You know, does Google show me where my address is, or is it some stretch down the road? And this goes back to the aggregation of data. It used to be that we could very easily go in and correct addressing problems within Google, but in the last 5 years, they've moved more to a model where they're looking at the aggregated data and not so much the individual. When I did actually get a Google person on the phone, they said they handle approximately 100,000 address updates daily.
Wow.
Yeah.
Worldwide. So, you know, that's something that's always under consideration. I know I used to be able to go in and make quick changes and see them about 6 weeks later. Now I have about a 20% success rate trying to make changes because of their review process. You know, if the master database doesn't jive, who's this little guy down in a county looking for?
Right.
So as in our meeting today, we named a couple roads or renamed a couple roads on private roads. So those people that live on those roads, it could be some time before Google Earth realizes that road has changed names.
That's correct. And, you know, unless you hit their refresh cycle just right, you know, like you say, it can be some time.
And on a private road, they're not getting mail delivery, correct?
A private road, yeah, absolutely could have mail delivery.
So that complicates
UPS,
it further.
FedEx. Mm-hmm.
Well, sure, the care,
you know, lumber delivery.
Yeah, oh, absolutely that. But I didn't know whether USPS had limitations to where they would deliver when it came to private roads, because, you know, very often in new subdivisions, for instance, you see the pod of mailboxes at the beginning of the subdivision, no more home delivery. So I figured, what an easy out for them to say, "Oh, private road, we're not coming."
Yeah,
right, and these roads that were named today are in the communities of Tonneau Basin and Young, where they don't have home route delivery. So, you know, if they would go to a P.O. box.
Right.
But UPS and FedEx ingest the data to help their delivery.
Yeah.
Well, good. Yeah, it's a complicated situation for a lot of people, especially in rural Arizona, like you say, on some of those incidences where things change and it takes a while to update. So if you're right, talking to your delivery service and they say, "Oh, we'll Google it," say, "No, maybe you better let me draw you a map so you can be sure you can get to my house." It go back to the old way. Might be the best in some cases.
Try that with Amazon.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Have your Amazon package delivered to somewhere where you know they have successfully delivered in the past.
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
And then you also asked for me to touch on the redistricting.
Yes, that would be interesting, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, let me take 2 seconds here and pause. Raleigh, is there anybody that had questions outside?
We'd be willing to drag them off the street and get them to their phone, but so far, 888-876-5593. I even pay for the call, so call us.
Yeah, asked for people to call in, but they don't. And when I had my public meetings, very few people showed up. But in my rural areas, I'll have 15 to 30 people show up at some of these meetings. That's why I try to be informative at these and kind of furnish information to the constituents rather than ask or what needs they have, because it just seems to not get much response.
But you'd be surprised. People download this. I don't know if they're using it as evidence or what, but they are downloading it. So after the show, if you go to kqss.net, give me a day or so, I'll get it up there. You can download it. It also replays on KJAA on Sunday mornings at 8 a.m.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are just shy. They don't want to be on the radio. They don't.
Nobody's listening, trust me. Just call.
Yeah.
Just you.
Okay.
Only you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully it comes through on the telephone, but I typically tell people I am in witless protection.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It'd be funny you say that, because as you're talking about these addresses, I'm thinking, this is great. You can't be found. Boy, it doesn't get better than this.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. Well, moving on to the redistricting then. So, you know, as Supervisor Humphrey has said, and the county website shows, we're in the process of, you know, the census. We've got the updated data, and now we have to reevaluate how, you know, our electeds are apportioned. And there are website on the county in the bubbles. There's a redistricting website. You can either choose the community college district or the Board of Supervisors, and, you know, draw how you think. You can start with how the current supervisory districts are placed, and then if you feel there is a better balance of population, you can start manipulating what election precincts are associated with which supervisory district. There are a few caveats. You know, you can't create an island. So, you know, with Supervisor Humphrey, you can't have him in Globe, but then have that far west precinct, what is that, Miami 1, over on the far side of Miami, that creates an island for him. It's got to be contiguous, and things like that. And then the whole gerrymandering thing, we try to make things compact. And that also makes it easier on our elected officials to know that, you know, this is the area where my constituent, my responsibility applies. but anybody can go in and create a new map if they feel the urge. And the only caveats are you have to create a login, and I believe it does validate your email address. So if there were questions, we could come back and ask. And then when your map, when you submit your map, that is presented to the redistricting team. And Supervisor Humphrey, what were there, three members out of each district?
I believe there was three out of each district, and then I believe that there was two alternates. And I believe the alternates
right.
are asked to go to the meetings as well.
So and they will receive that information, and we will look at those. And obviously there's going to be some that immediately fall out, but the redistricting committee's goal is to look at the three... what are felt to be the three best maps and presented to the Board of Supervisors for their, you know, approval and advancement.
Now, these districts, does this pertain only to the county?
Well,
yes. Yeah. Well, okay.
This what he's talking about, I believe, is just for the county. But then there's a college district as well and the county district. Is that correct, Tom?
Yeah, the community college district is, I believe, governed by a board of five members. So both the Board of Supervisors and the community college districts are up for reapportionment.
As is everything.
Now then, there are 3,600 census blocks within the county, and that level of granularity is just too unmanageable. So we've aggregated that into the 39 electoral precincts.
Now, you mentioned it has to be contiguous. I assume the rules for the county are the rules for the county that don't necessarily follow the rules for federal districts. Is that correct?
I'm not familiar with the rules of federal districting.
Okay. Other than contiguous, so, are there any other requirements, demographically or otherwise?
If we try to balance ethnicity along with total population, so we don't want to isolate any particular group. Now then, you know, the tribal areas in the past have requested, well, we've got the San Carlos Apache, the Fort Apache, and the Tano Apache. We were looking at trying to bring those into a single district. But I think the Tano Apache being a small reservation surrounded by the town of Payson, I think that presented problems 10 years ago. But that's something that will be looked at. And, you know, members of the reservation, the tribal elders, did come to the redistricting committee and say, hey, would you do your best?
Now we're talking about the three districts. Is three set in stone? Could there be more or less?
There can only be more due to population. I think we need over 250,000 people in order to be a five-person board.
And is that set in county or is that set in state or
that
federal?
That sets in state.
State, okay.
I do believe.
All right.
So it's going to be a long time, and we need a whole lot of people for us to be a five-supervisor county.
And the purpose of districts, since we're talking about Gila County as a whole, why is it divided into three? Why isn't it just one district for the county?
Well, because then you'd have one person making all the decisions, and they need to have at least three so that if there's something happening, there's three votes instead of just one vote.
All right, so this dictates who's on the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah. If you just had one person making all the decisions, then you would have no choice.
Well, like, for instance, the college district, I assume that you mentioned they have a board, say a five-member board. That's one district, but they've got multiple members, much like a city council or whatever. Couldn't one district have multiple members?
As
I suppose so.
All right. So this is done because this is the way it's always been done, and everybody's happy with it.
As far as the college,
as far as three districts for the county, you know, District 1, 2, and 3.
Well, that's due to population. We don't have population enough to have any more supervisors.
But you could have.
I don't know that you could have less.
Okay.
Because then you would have you would have one person making all the decisions, or you would have two people with a split decision.
All right, unless you appointed three people from one district, or elected three people. It's just curious how things are done. I could see it done in many ways. Doesn't matter either way.
Right.
The one thing I've noticed is the districts in the county, yours included, are interesting on a layout. They're not where you just look at it and say, oh, well, this makes sense. And of course, it does make sense population-wise or what have you. But so that's what's up for grabs here, whether they're going to stay the way they are or move.
That's basically, yeah. And they could stay the same. Okay. I'm not sure, but I think that if there is an off balance of like 500-600 people, then there's a change recommended to get everybody more even constituents.
Okay.
And so I'm not sure, but I believe that the North District right now is like 1,000 over,
mm-hmm.
and like my district is minus like 700 for us to be kind of on an even keel as far as population goes or registered voters. And so that could bring change to try to balance the population amongst the three districts to get all the three districts as even populated as possible, because we don't know what the change in the next 10 years is going to be. But Payson has grown quite a bit, and if they're 1,000 over now in another 5 years, how many more people are they going to be over? And so I think that's why that we are going through all of this, is to give the public the opportunity to draw their own maps or to put input in what the maps should be, to be approved by the Board of Supervisors. But the basic is just to get even population across the board between the three supervisors.
Has anybody drawn a map yet? Have you gotten any submissions?
I believe they have had submissions, yes. Some people do it out of interest. Some people do it out of perhaps wanting to change the district that they're in. But I think a lot of people are interested in taking part in any change,
sure.
And have a voice of what's actually going on. And that's appreciative. That's why I was on the radio and in the newspaper encouraging people to want to be on the committee.
Sure.
To have a voice in what's going on in the next few years as we go forward with decision making.
Do these districts affect taxation at all?
I don't believe that would change any of your taxation, but that's something that I could ask someone to be in and on the future. Basically, that's done by your neighbors. I think, you know, the more new, the better housing, the better commercial of the area that you live in, that's going to put you in the property tax bracket. If that was your question. Taxing,
curious.
Your property taxes.
Yeah, if it affected anything like that.
Yeah, no, this map does not.
Okay.
It wouldn't change your taxation at all.
All right.
But like if the bridge is built and they start doing a lot of improvements on the other side of Tunnel Creek, yeah, that's going to change taxes. But the lines for the supervisorial districts, I don't believe are going to change in any taxation.
All right.
Good.
Right. And Raleigh, one other thing I remembered while we were talking. We're looking to keep the supervisors still living in the districts they represent.
Oh, that's absolutely key. I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we don't want to potentially put a supervisor out of a job.
Right. It sounds like the real question here is the potential growth of Payson. Because really, from what I can see, the rest of the areas are relatively static comparably, but Payson has grown so much, the question is what happens in the next decade.
Right, yeah.
Right. And this is a once-in-a-decade opportunity to help guide your community and your civic involvement. So, you know, why not jump in?
Absolutely.
Tom, have you designed a map? You're the map guy. Have you put a map into the committee?
You know, I've been working on so much of the back end, I haven't done so.
Okay, yeah. No, that's
but
fine.
You
I was just asking because I think there's a time limit on that. So if someone is listening and they want to get involved, we're moving pretty fast on this because we were late getting our information from the census. So do you know of a deadline that we have for the maps, Tom?
I want to say it's early December.
Okay.
But I don't have the information in front of me, but the number that's sticking in my head is early December. So
okay.
we are very much on a very fast track for this.
Okay. Well, good. Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you being on the radio with us, and I appreciate your information and all that you do for us as Gila County and keeping us in all our maps and updates and things. And I thank you very much.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, sir.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for joining us, and talk to you later, Tom.
Yeah.
All right. Take care.
All right. Well,
where are we at on time, Roy?
It is 6:02, but the floor is yours as long as you want it. No reason not to talk.
Well, yeah, no, I'm fine. I brought some other information, but it's all information that can be brought another time. Not a big deal. I just want people to know that we're working real hard to try to keep you in what we're supposed to do as a county, but these fires and floods have put all of our staff in a lot of different areas. We're doing work with NRCS and working with contractors to keep the creeks clean and to do some of these projects in some of the creeks to help retain the water better and do some cleanups. So if you're not getting your roads cleaned as often as you would like, please let us know that we need to get on it. But also too, I ask to practice a little patience because we're really busy on some of this flood mitigation. And I know that none of us asked for our watersheds to be burnt. And in District 2, we have burnt from Jake's Corner all the way to the reservation.
Yeah.
And so I think that's like about 600,000 acres of District 2. So if we get a little sprinkle or if we're expecting a sprinkle, believe me, we're understaffed it as is, but our staff is extremely busy trying to keep roads open for the school buses and the people that need to get to work. And I know we haven't had any rain in a while, but we're also trying to do some preventative stuff because we know our winter storms are coming. So I just want to say, if you need something done on your road, if you need brushing and like in Six Shooter Canyon, by all means, let us know. And
right.
We're doing the best we can, but I just want to ask for patience because we've had an awful lot of issues with the flooding.
And to let you know, that would be GilaCountyAZ.gov.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's good. And my office phone number is 928-402-4417.
Okay.
And my assistance is 4418. And that phone number does go to my cell phone. So if you call and leave a message at the office, even if I'm not in the office, it comes as an email to my phone, and I'll get back to you just as soon as I can. And if we have a problem, I'll be happy to come by and look at it for you.
Great. So okay. We'll do this. We'll do this next month.
We will.
And let's, I know I've got a date on the calendar, I do believe for December, and that would be December 13th, which is a Monday next month at 5:30.
Okay, good deal. All right. And if there's anything you would like me to bring as far as information goes to that meeting, and you're shy and don't want to get on the radio, call my office and leave a message of information that you would like me to share with you. when I do come to the radio station. So I thank you all very much. And Raleigh, thank you for letting me be on your show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And again, the show will replay on KJAA 1240 AM 106.1 FM, and that will be Sunday at 8 AM. And it will be downloadable. All you have to do is go to kqss.net, and you will be able to download it at your leisure.
KQSS Miami. It's done.